We too greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Certainly blessed to have been here this morning. Brother Mike gave us five pointers from that chapter. And I was just sitting there thinking about how that is five fingers on my hand. We have a handful, do we not, of God's blessings. Such a blessing to be here this morning and to think of our purpose of gathering together today. Communion kept, that word kept ringing in my mind all this week. Look forward to getting into that a little bit. I thought maybe you also would enjoy a song that's been going through my mind and is a little central to the message today is the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. I'm not certain where that's found. Maybe somebody, if you know where it's at, you could find it. Or if you find it, if you give me the number, I think it's in the Christian hymnary. Thank you. Song number 115. I'm going to invite us to stand to sing this song. So central to what Jesus Christ did for us is his blood. Song number 115. Shall we sing?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can
seated. So to the word communion, this has become a very interesting word to me this week as I studied and pondered on it. There's three components of this word that I'd like to point out and cover today. I thought about using the board a little bit, but I don't know. I think I'll leave it. Maybe we can just sort of imagine a little bit. Well, she's saying, yes, I could. Okay. I don't know. Is there a marker down below? Is that where it's at? Maybe I'll find it here. Okay. maybe there's enough room for me to do a little something up here so we can all see. So the first part of this word that I'd like to focus on is going to be calm. And I'm going to put the extra M there. Okay, so we'll start with that part of this word. What does calm mean? If we research the word calm, it would indicate domain. It would indicate an area. Some of you that are electronically savvy and are familiar with the internet know that a lot of URLs end with .com. What does that mean? It means the top level domain. This morning, all of you, could I say, have a website, not literally, but you have an identity, right? So every website that gets registered has an identity. So you have an identity. You have a .com. You have a domain. What is your top level domain this morning? Later on, they began to use various other .com domains. US is one of them, .net, .org, you might recognize those. But while .com is a very well-known domain registry, this morning I'd like to think of all of our websites. Does your website read jamesyoder.jesus or .god? Whatever you want to put behind the dot, what does your domain read this morning? So, in the word communion, domain, God, it represents an existence. And I'd like to traverse through the Bible today, somewhat from the front to the back. May not go all the way to the back. But if we go to the first verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God in his existence was there, and he created something. Man had not yet been created. This is what gets very interesting to me. So the next part of this word, communion, is going to be you. And I'm going to go ahead and put the N there. And we'll pause there for a moment. So we have God in his existence, and then he created us humans, you. So the you in communion, I'd like for that to represent us. You. That represents you. So God and you. So today, are you here communing or are you here for communion? Okay? There's a big difference. There's a big difference. So now we'll go on to the latter part of the word communion. And I just love this. So that is I-O-N, and that indicates multiples. So we have God and us and multiples. So what is the multiples? The multiples is simply that we're going to be together today. There's more than one of us. And while we are communing with God, we are also going to be in communion one with another. Hopefully, Lord willing. So that is the rest of the word for communion. So as we consider that, we'll move forward and get into the scriptures and see what the scriptures have to say regarding this. So God created the earth and the heavens and all that is therein, and then man, and then it wasn't long until man fell. Okay, so if we think of this word communion, God, us, and each other, multiples, and the UN fell out. It fell down. So what was going to bring that back up to Christ? That's where Jesus came and gave his blood, and his blood reconciles us to that. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And we'll just read there briefly where they fell in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." We'll conclude reading there. We see the fall that happened to them. Now we know God had a remedy, and it wasn't long until he called to them, and they had tried to hide, and they sowed fig leaves, and God then also clothed them, and blood was shed. That would be the introduction of bloodshed in the Old Testament. And fast forwarding, I'd like to go to Exodus and see what the result was of the fall of man and how that God worked to remedy that. If we go to Exodus chapter 12, we see there where God told Moses and Aaron what to do. So Exodus chapter 12, starting to read in verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." In verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for memorial. And ye shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever." And today, we still continue to observe communion. Such a blessing it is for us to be able to do that. We see here where the Lord gave them instructions about what needed to happen to appease his judgment or anger in that the children of Israel or mankind had fallen. In the same chapter, I'd like to go to verse 21 now and begin reading there through verse 28. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee, to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Cease reading there. We see where the children moved in obedience and applied the blood. And we read about how that the angel passed over them and the firstborn were spared. God's plan for us, a redemptive plan for us, to redeem us back to him and from our fall. I'd like to now go to Matthew chapter 27 and read here about Jesus' sacrifice. Matthew chapter 27, begin reading in verse 32. It says there in verse 32, and we know prior to this, Jesus had been through a lot. He had been through the Garden of Gethsemane. Also, the Lord's Supper had already been instituted. We'd like to look at that next after this account. But this sort of cuts into a chain of events that was happening here in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 27. It says, and they came out, and they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by him reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all of the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. We'll cease reading there. So as God came into existence and made us, and we look at the you, I'd like to focus on that for just a moment. We as individuals are all connected to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we receive the blood of Christ in our heart, in our life, God restores that connection to himself through Jesus Christ. We have a oneness in Christ. This is what brings us together. And as we come together, we then also, it is Jesus' desire that we experience this oneness one with another. I have an illustration I'd like to talk about a little bit. This may more so align with us men and what we have to do, but it is something that I find very intriguing mechanically. I think you brethren are going to know what a U-joint is. If you look at a U-joint, there's a couple things to note from it. More so, specifically, the one that connects in the form of a PDO shaft. This past week, I watched a truck driving the road, and I saw that drive shaft under the truck, and it was spinning. And the truck was moving nicely. I watched him accelerate from a stop all the way to the speed he wanted to travel. And I was just thinking about how much is involved in that mechanical process. When I was, I would say young, probably my early teens, my Uncle Elmer here was working on a hay mowing machine, and we were over at Yoder Brothers, and this U-joint mechanically gave out. It almost came apart. And that was the first time that I had seen a PTO shaft U-joint system taken apart, and I began to make some observations. So for you brethren that have done that before, you know there is a, I'm not even sure what they call it, but there's a four-point with round ends bearing-like on this thing, this device that connects the U-joints in a PDO shaft. There's also another little thing that is extremely important. That is what we call a grease cert. Okay, so you that run equipment know how important a grease cert is. A grease cert allows grease to be injected into the bearings of this mechanical process or thing. Some time ago, I went to town to buy some grease, and I looked at the different options on the shelf, and I noticed one that said that it was much better at reducing or keeping the level of temperature in a highly friction-oriented bearing down. It had a temp regulatory impact on the mechanics. And I thought, well, that would be a good one, and so I got it. And so I took it home, and I began to insert that into the grease cert, and I noticed the color was red. The color of that particular grease was red. And I come to really like that, because when that is inserted, you could see if it comes through out the other side. You could see that. Today, I would like to liken that to the blood of Jesus Christ. So for us to sort of understand this, if you take your two fingers and you sort of make a hook like this, if you bring that together, okay, and if you can look at not my fingers, but look at the space in between the fingers, you see the 4-point? Do we see the 4-point there? Okay, so there's 4 points. There's up and down, and there's this way. So that is responsible for bringing these two U-joints together. Think of you as us as individuals, okay? So now I'd like to make 4 points about what brings us together, what ties us together. The first point being God. God brings us together. The second point, Jesus Christ. The second point being Jesus Christ. The third point that we have is the Holy Spirit. And the fourth point being His Word. So there's 4 points that bring us, you and I, together. If any one of those 4 points is compromised or left out, what good are we? How effective are we? We all know that when that breaks down, a PDO shaft, as powerful as it is to propel machinery, is of no avail. At that point, it is worth scrap metal. That's all it is. But when that is together and working, there's a lot that can happen. And then when that's connected, and that's all together, I watched my Uncle Elmer go through that process. I think there's a couple of little pieces that hold it in place. But all that's to come out. He used the vise on the workbench, so a lot of pressure was put on it, and a hammer, and sometimes you even have to take a torch and heat it up to get it out and to get that fixed. But last but not least, the greaser needs to be working. I'd like to liken that to us as humans. What happens when we have sin in our life? We're not able to apply the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants us to repent. And as we repent, he puts his blood, and that cleanses us. So this greaser needs to be working. Often those seize up, and we have to remove them and put in a new one. So as the blood of Jesus Christ is brought to you and I, we can be made to dwell together in a harmonious mechanical process that accomplishes his purposes in our lives. And so as this grease is placed into this PTO shaft, it gains longevity, it gains functionality, it gains the ability to turn at angles that otherwise it would not be able to withstand. So it is in the church. As the church goes out to accomplish Christ's mission, we also experience challenges. There's relational challenges. I'd like to illustrate just a little bit practically. Maybe the children will identify with this. Some time ago, there's been some talk in our family that we didn't have a dog. For a couple years now, we didn't have a dog. And the critters start showing up, possums, skunks, and all kinds of stuff you don't like and want. I'll spare you the experience that I had with a skunk. I thought I was going to get sprayed, but I think I got out of that. So after that, I really wanted to put some diligence forth to getting a dog. And so we were sort of watching for that. And I had a friend that messaged me one day and wondered if we would have any interest in a dog. And he described the dog to me, and I said, yeah, we'd be happy to come look. So Wilson and I went to look at this dog. And it is an Australian Shepherd, and it was 5 years old. And I really, really worried about the fact that it was already grown, matured. Would we be able to teach this dog anything? We then talked at length and agreed to try. They said, you take him for a week, and if you like him, that's fine. If not, you can bring him back. So we took the dog home, but before we got the dog, we went around the corner of their house, and there was a couple of cats. And I mean, that dog just took off after those cats. And I mean, the race was on. And the cats off for the porch as hard as they could go. And it looked like the cat made it under the porch just in time, in the nick of time. And he said, yeah, the dog really doesn't do well with cats. It just, it just can't handle the cats. And I thought, well, we don't have a cat, so maybe that won't be a problem. I'm not really that much of a fan of cats either. This morning, Wilson came running to the back of the house and said, hey, can I borrow your phone? The dog and the cat are playing, and I'd like to take a picture. I said, yeah, sure, go take a picture. Shortly, he comes back, and he showed me a picture, which I have with me today. And I just thought it was a good illustration of how reconciliation can happen. We need reconciliation with God, first of all. Sometimes we need reconciliation with one another. And so I've got this picture, and I'm just going to give this picture down here to Julie, and she can hand this to the next person, and you all can hand this through and see what I'm talking about and see what happened.
I really did not expect that result.
out of our working with this dog. So when the dog came home and then we got a cat, we were worried about the cat. So we had a process that we went through, introducing the cat to the dog. And it seems to have been successful. Today they play together and entertain us incredibly. But it took effort. It took work. So it does in the Church of Jesus Christ. It takes effort. It takes work for us to be able to dwell together in a way that glorifies God and blesses others as well. I'd like to transition a little bit now to the scriptures that talk about communion. We'll read some of those. I'd like to start by going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I see I do not have much time here, so I'm going to have to move along. I don't want to keep you late today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start reading in verse 1. Paul here writes, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if I by the grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." From this chapter, we see Paul talking about several things. He goes back to the Old Testament and begins there about how the redemption plan was instituted, how it was brought to the children of Israel. And then he fast forwards all the way to the outworking of our redemption today with each other and with those around us. He would that we would put others before ourselves. And certainly there's a lot that could be said with the practical application of this. But what we gather from this is God is not interested that we are here today communing, but that we accomplish communion, meaning that we are one with him and one with another, one with each other through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more scripture that I would like to turn to before closing is in Ephesians chapter 4. I think it's written beautifully here about God's desire for the church. Ephesians chapter 4, begin reading in verse 1. He says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify on the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with the working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'd like to give this as the outworking of the blood of Christ upon our hearts. And as we are one together, this will yield in a functioning body that will observe the things that are written here. With those thoughts, let's come before the Lord and kneel in prayer.